So we're discussing, yesterday we were discussing this, the foundation, how to build a body, make a better body, make a siddha deha. So we were saying that bhav precedes the deha, that with the bhav is there, and so it works like this, you can see everywhere in the study of devotion, that to progress from level to level, it depends on the inner quantum. Our progress up the devotional scale depends on the development of the inner quantum, the development of the heart and mind in relationship to Krishna. If that is not developed, any number of external practices will not bring us to bhava. So the first step that we take towards developing bhava and prema is to develop lobha, greed, intense greed for hearing about Krishna, and hearing about Krishna's lila in a particular dham, swadham, hearing about his braj lila, and hearing about the associates of the Lord. This is called shravana dasha, the hearing, the step of hearing. On this hearing, if it's done properly in conjunction with seva and submission, then this hearing develops, we develop a great greed by hearing. Then we become qualified, because that greed is a certain feeling. We develop feelings for the Lord and greed for the Lord. And that qualifies us to advance to the level of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So it's impossible to rise to the level of the second division of Vaidis, of Sadhana Bhakti, of Raganuga Sadhana, without a transformation of the mind and heart. The heart has to fill with greed, with intense feelings to be like the residents of Vrindavan and a particular resident, intense feelings to hear about Krishna Vrindavan. So the development of feelings and the development of the of an attitude or a bhav, and basically it's a development of a bhav. That bhav develops, and as our bhav develops and our feeling develops, we move closer to Krishna, and we become more advanced in devotion, and we improve our understanding of the Lord. That's why I say that it begins with a seed. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. From outside, the seed is given. And then that seed develops with the ingress of bhav, with feelings. The seed grows with the development of feelings, devotional feelings. So it's told numerous places that if one can practice Vaidhi Sadhana for millions of births and not attain perfection, the perfection of Braja Bhav. Because if one is producing, if one is practicing Vaidhi Sadhana mechanically without the application of heart, then it doesn't go forward. So at every stage, the development of our perfect body depends on the development of our heart, the softening of the heart, the ever-softening heart process, the ever-active process of softening the heart. And this heart, the devotional heart, becomes most fully softened or becomes practically fully softened at the level of bhav. And this is in the definition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, bhava, it says chitta mashrina. Chitta mashrina, the chitta becomes very soft, it melts, the heart melts. So melting doesn't happen all at once. Boom, it's melted. Usually there's some time, if not a few seconds. Even if you have the most powerful melting apparatus, you have a laser torch, you have a laser welding machine, and you want to burn a hole in a piece of steel, when you apply the heat of the laser torch on the steel, it doesn't immediately vaporize like the traditional science fiction movies where you show your vapor gun, poof, and the guy just becomes invisible. It's called a vaporizer in the science sci-fi movies, if you've ever seen or read about. They used to, instead of carrying guns and revolvers, they carry a vaporizer. It looks like a gun. The invisible ray comes down, the person just turns into vapor. They become steam. In a second, they become invisible. So it would be a very nice, handy thing to have on Harinam. You run into some demons or something, and make them invisible. So the whole process of bhakti is a process of softening the heart, giving up envy. When we serve Vaishnavas, by serving Vaishnavas, it softens the heart because envy is removed from the heart. Envy is a hard stake in the heart. It's like a hard steel nail in the heart, envy. So when we serve the Vaishnavas, then gradually that spike is removed from the heart, that hard steel nail. So the whole process of bhakti is softening the heart. So as the heart becomes soft, the heart starts to develop these feelings. And then the feelings develop all the way to the point of bhava. And then one is awarded a particular body at the level of bhava, because the spiritual bodies, they move. They are bhava dehas. They move and they act and they speak and they think and they feel all on the basis of bhava. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. It's all expressions of bhav. It's, everything they do is an expression of love and feelings. So it's the siddhadeya is a body of feelings. It's a body of love. It's not bones and names and colors and dresses and all these things. It is a body of bhav. And it has a shape, the human shape. I mean, at least the personal, human-like associates and servants of the Lord, they have a human form. But the trees have a tree form in the spiritual world, but actually it's a form of a tree encasing the bhav. The bhav is encased in a tree form. The bhav is encased in a piece of a grass form. The bhav is encased in a deer form. The bhav is encased in a banana tree form, or a monkey form, kakati, the monkey, or dadi lobha. Krishna has a pet monkey named Dahi Loba. Very interesting name. Dahi means yogurt and Loba means greedy. So the name of Krishna's pet monkey is Dahi Loba. And then he has a chubby pet calf named Tungi. And Tungi means chubby. So these are forms to create variety of landscape, to create the human environment for the Lord's pleasure. There are animals, and there are birds, and beasts, and deer, and there are dogs, apparently. And so, but the real important aspect is not the form, but the vastu, the bhav-vastu. So that bhava, that is what the body is given according to the bhav. This is everywhere told. Where is it not told? In Bhagavad Gita, in the death chapter, death and dying chapter, chapter 8, yam yam vapi smaran bhava tyajat yanta kalevaram. Kalevaram means body. We give up this kalevaram, we give up this body, and we get another kalevaram, our deha, our body, according to our bhavam. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Smaran bhavam. What is the bhava? What are you remembering? What bhava remembering at the time of death? Seva bhava, Krishna, I want to serve you eternally. In this mood, in this bhava of a gopi, of a mandri, of a pransaki of Radharani, I want to serve your beloved Radharani. And this is my bhava, and this is my life, and this is my everything. So you have that bhava, you cultivate that bhava throughout your life, you'll get that deha instantly. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura in text 6 of this Shastiyam Sadhana, which is the teachings to develop bhava for the Ajata Rati Sadhaka, the sadhaka that is not at the level of bhav, then he will develop bhav by following these teachings and chanting the Mahamantra, the sixth pair of the Mahamantra, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, and then Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, like this. So this Hare Ram represents this Shastiyam Sadhana. So Lord Chaitanya says in the very beginning, this is the relationship between the devotee and the Lord. I'm standing before Lord Jagannath. I am the ideal devotee. Of course, I'm Radharani. I'm in Mahabhav, and it's Rath Yatra. But I'm uttering this prayer. What is this prayer? This prayer functions on two levels, for the Jatarati Sadaka and the Jatarati Sadaka. The Jatarati Sadaka, that
developed, perfected practitioner who has attained the level of Baba, when he recites his prayer, what's important for him is the last line, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya, or Dasi Anudasi. Hey Gopinath, hey Jagannath, hey Gopinath, I'm your Dasi, I'm your Nitya Dasi. Now my Seva is my Prem Seva, my Prem, I'm tied to you. This rope is my heart tied to your heart. In my hand is this rope, and the other end of this rope is your heart. This rope is tied to your heart, not the chariot. The chariot is Jagannath's mano retena. Mano means heart. The heart chariot. So the chariot is the heart, and Jagannath is sitting on his heart, and the rope is Radharani's heart. Radharani's heart is one side of the rope tied to her heart, and the other side of the rope is tied to Jagannath. It's not a rope tied to a piece of wood and so forth. Isn't the Baba Bhakta saying this? Radharani is, she's tied her heart with her Braja Prem. It's, hey, what is this? What is this Dwarka Leela? This Dwarka Bhav? This Aishwarya Bhav? What is this Kurukshetra Bhav? This Rajvesh? Hey, Chordo. This big, big chariot? Forget it. It's all a matter of heart. My heart and your heart. My heart is tied to your heart by this rope. Damodara. You heard of Damodara. This is a heart rope. This is not a rope made of jute. So, but this rope is Radharani's heart. And they said, come on, I'm tying you. Your mother Shoda tied you. Your Sukha Dharma, there are the Sukhas tied you. Now I'm tying you. It's a heart matter. It's a matter of the heart. So here, he's standing there. And in his bhav, he's saying, Naham vipro na cha narapati vapi vaisha na shudra. Naham varni na cha griha patir. No, you know, ashto yatirva. So for the achatarati sadhaka, the sadhaka who is not at the level of bhav, then he chants this prayer and he prays that I will have this Gopi Bhav, Gopi Bhartu. I'm praying, oh, my Lord, I'm so attached to my designations, to my upadis. I think I'm this, I think I'm that. I'm a Brahmin. I'm a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I'm a Brahmachari, Sannyasi. I'm a man, woman, this, that. All these upadis. Because the verse is all about upadis. So one who is at the level of Ajatarati, one who is not the level of Bhav, he is covered with upadis. He's covered with designations, absolutely covered. His mind is covered and infested with so many designations and intelligence. The level of Bhav, this is the pure identity. Bhav is the pure ego. Bhav is the pure identity, the pure me, the real Mamta, the real Hamta. Ahamta, I am, and Mamta. I am Gopinath Das, Gopinath Dasi. That is Ahamta. And Mamta, my Prananath, Mora Prananath, you are my Prananath, Mora Prananath. This is the Mamta. Ahamamati, I and mine. This is a purified ego. This is Hankar, not Ahankar. Wrong ego is Ahankar. And real ego is Hankar. Krishna's identity is pure. Krishna knows exactly what he is. What is Krishna's identity? Krishna's identity is, I serve my lovers. I'm a servant of my lovers. That's Krishna's identity. He doesn't know anything but serving his lovers. It's called Prem Vashibhut. Prem Vashibhut means I am controlled by Prema, isn't it? Radharani is Krishna Prem Vashibhut. Radharani controls Krishna by her Prem. This is her 25th quality. So Radharani controls Krishna with her love. So Krishna is controlled by love. So it means he's a servant of his lovers. So this is pure ego, to be a complete 100% servant of one's beloved. Krishna is showing that. God is showing it. Mahaprabhu is showing it. He served the prasadam to the devotees with his own hand. He washed their dhotis. He carried their puja paraphernalia. He carried their books. He served them. Radharani serves the devotees. Lalita doesn't feel good. Radharani massages her legs. She doesn't think, oh, I'm Radharani, get lost. Oh, you're my Sakhi. Sakhi, what does Sakhi mean? Sakhi means friend. Near and dear one. So this verse is telling that this is the bhav that we have to develop. Such an important verse, because the bhav, the first two lines of the verse are all about getting free from designations, anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti. Then the last two lines are all about bhav and prem. Nikala paramananda porna abritav der, porna amrit abdi, paramananda. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. This is Bhav. This is Shudanam, Bhavanam, Bhavanam. Paramananda Purna Amrita Abdi. Abdi, an ocean of nectar, complete nectar. Paramananda, the most highest bliss. That's experienced at the level of bhava when one fully identifies as gopi, 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 gopi dasi, 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 anudasi, the servant of the servant of the maid servants of Gopinath. So this is bhava. This is gopi bhava. So that bhava must be developed deeply and fully, full saturation, full immersion in one's mind and heart. Then day is automatic. But it's like you have a car without a driver. What use is it? You have a car without a driver. It's shiny. It has a color. It has a function. It does so many things. But there's no driver. So what good is it? So if someone knows how to drive, they know how to drive, and they have money, then what will they have in their hands very soon? They'll have a car. They know how to drive and have money to purchase a car. So a car will come. So this is the outlook here given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The living entity is actually a servant of the transcendental Sri Krishna Chandra, the ocean of all nectarian mellows. Ekaleshvara Krishna ara sabhavritya jare jaiche na chaitse taiche kare nirtya. Sri Krishna alone is Ishvara, the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. So the living entity who is bound by Maya identifies with the temporary material body, Vipra, Vaishya, Shudra, Griha, etc., of a woman or a man and various other designations. However, with his own lotus mouth, Sri Gaur Sundar, the incarnation in Kali Yuga, and savior of all fallen souls, instructed the human beings tormented by Kali. He said, Mahabhu said, "We are not bound by social classes, varnas, such as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, nor by ashram, brahmacharya, and other stages of spiritual life. Our pure identity is Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das, Das, Anudas, that of the servant of the servant of the servant of the maintainer of the gopis. Because the living entity is conditioned, he receives a new body according to his previous life's desires and impressions, samskaras, and thus takes birth in one of the varnas, desire and samskara. So that's the whole thing. That's what bhakti is all about, desire and samskaras. Desiring some perfectional stage, siddhi lalasa, and engaging in the limbs of bhakti, which will bring us to that desirable stage. This is called bhakti samskaras. Developing the proper impressions, cultivating the proper impressions in the chitta. So that's why we're told, if we're interested in Braj, then we always read about Braj. If we're interested in Madhurya Bhav, we always read about Madhurya Bhav. And we always visit the places of Madhurya Leela. And we always associate with Madhurya Bhaktas. And we always chant Madhurya Nam and Bhajans all about Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranamor Jugala Kishor Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahimo Sham Gori Ange Diva. So we sing our Sham, our Gori. When will that day? So desiring like this, reading like this, associating like this, and seeing these places and rolling in dust these places, what does it do? It produces bhakti sanskars. Desire and icha and sanskar, desire and sanskars. And eventually, our only desire is this, and our only samskar, then there's nothing else in the account. Only pure bhakti. Kama is lust, the opposite of prema. Pure bhakti is prema. Prema bhakti means pure vishuddha bhakti, nirmal bhakti, vishuddha bhakti. Shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula. Right? Bhajan. So our pure identity is Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. The destination one receives after death is in accordance with his karma. This is called karma chakra, the cycle of action and reaction. The living entity realizes his pure form, Shuddha Sarup, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide guru and thereby following the path of bhajan as established by the previous Mahajans. His material identification is removed by his constant performance of nam bhajan. A pure spiritual mood then manifests, and he attains a pure transcendental body with which he can serve Krishna. His body is also endowed with hands, legs, and so on, just like the material body, but this body is completely spiritual, transcendental, siddha deha. In pure transcendental nature, Sri Krishna is the only male, and all jivas are prakriti, female. Actually, this is very interesting, in the structure of the jiva's heart, the heart of the jiva, male and female characteristics do not exist. Yet, when embodied, the living entity, means inside the jiva in a material body, naturally conceives himself as being male or female. Gross illusion. The jiva attains a pure body through the medium of sadhana bhajan. A person who is inclined towards the amorous melho, madhurja ras, will perform sadhana bhajan under the guidance of rasika bhaktas and according to his own desire and constitutional nature. He will attain his spiritual form, which will be the body of a gopi. Yogamaya makes all arrangements for the devotee's service in a specific rasa by the potency that makes the impossible possible. Agatana Gattana Patiyasi Shakti. Prem Bhakti Chandrika states, Sarane Bhaviva Jaha Siddhadeya Pavataha. Of course, different acharyas have different Gaudiya viewpoints. They translate and present these verses from Prem Bhakti Chandrika in a different manner because they're open to different interpretations. Sarana Bhaviva Jaha Siddhadehi Pavataha. Whatever one contemplates in sadhan, one will attain at perfection. Pakapakwa Matra Sevichar. The only difference is that in sadhana, such a body that one is meditating on is unripe, and at perfection it is ripe. Das Anodas, because this is big. The main point word of the verse, whether we have bhav or don't have bhav, it's all about das anodas. Either if we have bhav, we're serving an anugatya, sakhi anugatya. We're serving an allegiance to a line of sakhis, Alita, Vishaka, our guru sakhi, our Yuteshwari sakhi. Yuteshwari sakhi of Raghunath Das is Vishaka sakhi. Yuteshwari sakhi of Rupa Mantri is Alita Saki, like this, Yuteshwari. So there's Alita, then there's Rupa, then there's all the Saki Parampara. And then if you're not on the level of Bhav, if we are not on the level of Bhav, then we're also serving an Anugatya. There's Guru, then there's Guru's representative, temple president, then there's temple commander, then there's van leader, Sankirtan van leader. And then ultimately the final guru, the final leader that we're serving under is Chaitya Guru. Because he is there. When the others aren't there, then Chaitya Guru is there giving orders and we submit to him and he gives us appropriate guidance. So we're always under authority. And when we're not under authority, then we're in difficulty. Because then we're left to the false ego. The false ego becomes the authority. And the false ego is subject to pramad. Gross and pramad means pramatak, prakrishnarena matak. Pramad means excessive intoxication, total intoxication, absolute madness, pramad. So this is a tendency of the jiva, pramad, vipralipsa, pramad, karana, patava, and brahm. These are the four defects, illusion, and one is madness. So When we are not under authority, we are under the authority of a madman, the false ego. And the false ego tells us to do all crazy things. And we listen to the false ego, and we do these crazy things, and then we see the result. So we should be a little, always be under authority and always checking. I don't know what to do. Oh, Paramatma, oh Antaryami, oh Krishna in my heart. Which way should I go? Krishna, always constant dialogue with authorities, constant association with authorities, the immediate authority of Super Soul or the surrounding authorities of Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus and our ever-well-wishers from the spiritual realm. Our guardians are always guiding us through their wonderful teachings and their shastras and their tapes. Numerous times I've been rescued by the guardians, and I hope that they continue to rescue me by their timely guidance in tapes and books and in person. This is the fortune of being anugatya. But independence has reigned our lives from innumerable births, so it's very difficult to submit. No one has the qualification to enter Madhurya Seva to Sri Yugal Kishore unless he is under the guidance of the Braja Gopis. Uddhava, everyone, Lakshmi, everyone had to come under the guidance, surrender. By performing bhajan under the guidance of the Mandri Sakis, who are following those gopis, one can attain the post of a maidservant. At the time of sadhan, one desires to have the mood of service to Krishna. At the time of sadhan, before bhav, one desires, so we're talking about icha, and sankalpa or samskara. So icha is one desires to have the mood of service to Krishna according to the moods of the Braja Gopis. Then, when bhava arises, he considers himself and realizes himself to be a maidservant of the Braja Gopi, like Lita Sakhi, and he serves Radha and Krishna under her guidance. And Sringar Ras Upasana, worship through the mellow, amorous mellow, one conceives of oneself as a paramour, Parakya or Parodha. Some persons, although males, consider themselves to be Lalita Mishaka. They adopt feminine attire, pose as sakis, and they perform, quote, bhajan. This course is called Sakhi Beki. Sakhi Beki, where sometimes people dress up like sakis. Of course, there are different ways to look at this, but Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati generally didn't appreciate it, although it may be a bona fide way to express one's excessive attachment to his particular bhav. But in general, it does create a disturbance in the minds of the neophytes, such an outward expression of one's siddhadeya. When a man dresses up as a sakhi mandri in a contemporary society and moves, although it was done, and the persons that would do it, of course, maybe possibly were very on a very highly realized state, and even ordered by the gurus to do it. So on one level, they were perfectly adjusted and doing the right thing, but on a larger, broader level, it was creating quite a bit of disturbance socially. So Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati reacted to the broader level, and he criticized such practice of Sakhi Beki. But the basic conclusion is that we may be thinking, we may be identifying ourselves as a follower of Alita and Vishaka, but we should never think we are them, because that's a hunger upasana, and we should never ever dress up as them. Those who think like this are offenders at the lotus feet of Lita Vishaka, if they think that they are Lita. And oftentimes these people would say, I'm Lita Sakhi, etc. And the commentator is saying that such persons descend into the most dreadful hell. The living entity can never become Lita Sakhi Rupa Manjari, Srimati Radhika's eternal kinkari, nor can one. These sakis are not living entities. They are direct expansions of the Sarup Shakti of Radharani, Kayavyuha Sarup. While performing Sringar Rasa Upasana at the time of sadhana, the living entity should serve Radha and Krishna under the guidance of Radhika's eternal sakis. Conceiving oneself as a paramour, one's aspiration should be, we should desire, to take birth in the home of a Braja Gopi, marry a specific Gopa. Although some mandris aren't married, there's also scope for taking birth from a womb of a Gopi in Bhava Vrindavan and not getting married. But then it makes it difficult to have Parakiya Bhav, because to assist Radharani, because you could be a mantri, but you wouldn't be very much intimate mantri, because without having Parakiya Bhav, you cannot assist her and understand and nourish the flow of Radha's Parakiya Bhav. And so there is scope for that, but one would understand, at least it's presented by the Acharyas, that unless one comes in line, he cannot go where that line goes. So the line that goes to the most intimate service of Radharani's Amandri is the line of Parakiya Bhav. But if one has the swabhav or mentality, he doesn't want to, for some crazy reason, because this is all transcendental, and the husband is only like a rumor anyway, and you have really nothing to do with him, just like the Sakis. So it's not any real extra baggage or any real detainment. You never even mention his name. You have a husband, you never mention his name. He has a name, but you never mention it. And he has a form, but you never touch it. And he has a form, and you never see it. He's always out in the pasture somewhere or something. So it's not much of a reality to deal with or worry about. But we have all these fears and inhibitions, like coming from, we're transporting our experiences of this world into that world. At any rate, to enter into the Parakiya Bhav and most intimate sevas, then one must be anugatya Parakiya Bhav, which means you must have a husband. And don't worry about all that. That will be arranged anyway. So it's, in other words, it's not important. What does it matter if it's Govardhana Mala or this one or the Abhimanyu or Duramada or whatever it might be? So you'll marry a specific gopa and remain in a childless gopa kishori. So you'll have a husband, but there's no issue. So if there's no issue, that means there's no contact. This kishori, whose mood is Parakiya Bhav, is a female sadhaka with an intense yearning to serve Sri Krishna under the guidance of Sri Radha. When this bhav is perfected, one attains gopi bhav. In his song, Dekiti Dekite, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Braja Gopi Bhava Hoibe Sobhav, Ana Bhava Na Rahibe. My soul disposition, my swabhav. Swabhav means my mentality, my outlook, my disposition, my swabhav. My only disposition and nature will be that of a Braja Gopi. So this is all about mentality, developing a certain swabhav. So this comes by repeatedly singing the bhajans and reading the pastimes of the Lord and reading descriptions of the gopis and the services rendered by the Goswamis and their siddhadeyas. Then one starts to identify with their mood and with their seva, and then this shapes the swabhava or mentality of the sadhaka. Because the mind, as I said, the mind of a sadhaka is like clay. And the soft clay of the mind of the sadhaka is molded by his association, whom he associates with, and what he associates with, and where he associates, and why he associates. So this association is everything. Shastra-sangha, Shastra-sangha associating with Shastras, Sadhu-sangha associating with Sadhus, and the Holy Dham, being in the Holy Dham, in a particular, with the right mentality, with the right attitude, then everything comes very properly. So we can continue tomorrow. Any questions? A question being asked, is the marriage of the mantris and only, or sakis, whatever, only occur in Boma Vrindavan, or is it occur in Goloka Vrindavan and the spiritual world? And the marriage is in both places. It is part of the sarup of those in Madhurya Ras. The sarup is there. So the marriage is in Boma Vrindavan. It's first manifested there in Boma Vrindavan in some form, and it continues on into Nitya Vrindavan. And it's explained in relation to, say, Radharani, because she's also married, so marriage is marriage, whether it's a mantri or a sakhi. So in Radharani's case, she's married. Abhimanyu takes a form here in Boma Vrindavan, there's some tangible form. But in the spiritual world, of course, that's also a spiritual world, but in Goloka Vrindavan, the Abhimanyu, she has, it's all conception. She has the idea, I'm married, And maybe there was some merit. It was just an idea. Because just like you see in Boma Vrindavan, there's marriage performed, there's Krishna's birth, there's all these things. And there's some acharyas are saying that there's different viewpoints. But some acharyas, Jiva Goswami is saying, for example, that Krishna's birth and growing up and these marriage functions and some of these killing demons, these only go on in Boma Vrindavan. They don't go on in the spiritual world. So here in Boma Vrindavan Leela, there was actually a marriage arranged between Jatila's family and Vrishabhana's family, and then marriage, all these things. And then there was the marriage of Krishna and Radharani and Bandiravan with Brahma. So they say these are some of the naimittic leelas of Boma Vrindavan. But in the spiritual world is Navakishore. So there, but that concept, that mood of Parakiya Bhava is also, of course, there's debates about this, but our six Goswamis, their conclusion, our Siddhanta, which we follow, is that Parakiya Bhava is eternal. It is in Boma Vrindavan and it's also in the spiritual world. And the expression of Parakiya Bhava in Madhurya Ras is that the gopis are all married, the mandris are all married, but it's like a rumor. It's not, there's no real form of Abhimanyu. So this is a little bit inconceivable. But it's the analogy given, I've heard sometimes, is like a child is in a room. He's a young child, young boy, sleeping alone in a room. It's dark as night. And the window's open. It's summertime. The wind is blowing. And the child is sleeping, and he wakes up, and he's a little bit type fearful type child. Some children are more fearful. So the wind is blowing, and there's a curtain by the window, and the curtain is blowing, and he thinks, oh, and he feels, he thinks, oh, someone is standing in my room. There's someone behind the curtain, and the curtain is moving, and I think someone's here. Because he's fearful, he has these phobias due to his prarabdha karma. Some people are very, oh, oh. They're very worrisome people and fearful people, and some people are, they're happy-go-lucky, fearless, they don't even think like that. There's different thinking processes due to different karmas. So that's our experience. So then he runs out of his room. Mommy, some strange man is in my room. Quick, behind the curtain. So the father gets out his shotgun if he's American, he gets out his shotgun, and the wife gets out her 22 revolver, her Derringer. She gets her Derringer out from the drawer next to the bed, and she takes her 22, little pistol, and then they go, and they push the curtain aside. Boom! They push the curtain aside. There's nothing there but the wall. There's just the wall, the window, and the curtain. And they say, oh, listen, Junior, look, there's nothing there. It's only a figment of your imagination. It is a product of your imagination. There's no man. And he says, oh, I was really scared. I was really afraid. I thought there was some man, strange man, standing behind the curtain near the boogeyman. And he was going to jump on me and strangle me. So we live in so many phobias and fears. And it's real. And for the child, he was sweating, he was perspiring, he was crying, his hair was standing on end, and his voice was all choked up. And he was having material symptoms. These are symptoms of, not bhava bhakti, but they're symptoms of fear. You feel that tingling sensation. You walk through the inner path of Govardhan, and all of a sudden 3,000 monkeys are coming down from the hill, waking up in the morning, and you have no stick in your hand. There's 3,000 monkeys. Ha 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 ha! And all of a sudden, your back, the skin on your arms goes. And your throat gets a little tight, and there's like 3,000 monkeys, and someone looking. Ha ha! And you go, God Almighty, I don't have any stick. Oh, I gotta relax. Don't look at the monkeys. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And you start walking slow, but if you walk too fast, and they start chasing. Oh, he's running. Let's get him. And then. So it's really a delicate balance there. When you go through the inside path at sunrise time, and you can feel it. I mean, of course, you're all transcendental, and you're not disturbed by any of these things, but I've had the experience where I can feel like my skin gets a little tight, and some fun, my scalp, especially your scalp, and that's how your hair stands then, because the muscles, because what happens is the emotions and nerves are connected, and the nerves contract them, and the nerves contract the muscle surrounding the hair follicle contracts, and it makes the hair stand up. So you feel your scalp, the skin in your head gets tight. You go, oh my God, I'm getting afraid. Oh, be cool. Hare Krishna. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And then you get through there and go, I have to bring my stick next time. So this is the point, that although we had bad experiences with marriage in this realm, you know, life after life, marriage after marriage, but generally our experience of marriages in the material world leaves us a little frustrated. And we usually say, I don't want this again. And in Hindu land, they have an expression in English, they say that love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. But when someone told me that, some Indian friends, the married friends, I said, actually, love is blind and marriage makes you deaf and dumb. So then you become deaf, dumb, and blind. I think this is a more appropriate addition to the phrase. Love is blind. Oh, I love her. But don't you, she's weird, is that? You're a Hindu, she's Muslim. No, I love her, forget it. Love is blind. Then you get married, and after marriage, then marriage makes you deaf and dumb. Oh. Can't think straight, can't speak. Whatever your wife says, you say, yes, yes, yes. So you can't speak, and you can't think anymore. Completely controlled, like an imbecile, a fool dancing on a stick, dancing on a rope, monkey on a rope, you know, talk, talk, talk. Yes, yes, yes. So then we think, I go to the spiritual world, and I'll get married? Ah, forget it, I'll stay here. Fight it out over here. At least I know the territory. At least I know how to move and maneuver, how to lie to my husband and lie to my wife. I have it all figured out. If I go up there, maybe you can't lie up there. Maybe lying's not allowed. Maybe you're not allowed to lie in the spiritual world. And how will I carry on my relationship? Because all relationships in the material world are based on lying. That's why one of the biggest professions is lawyers, which try to unravel the lies. Lawyers are all about liars. Lawyers, their whole function is to unravel lies. Because the guy shot his wife dead. He's, I didn't kill her. And so he tries to defend the liar by saying, oh, he didn't kill her, the butler did it, you know. So all relationships in the material world are based on lying. And all relationships in the spiritual world are based on love, loving. Because as soon as you think you're the material body, that's a misconception, that's a lie. So you make a relationship based on the material body, then it's a lie, it's false. So all relationships are based on lying, isn't it? So how do you bring truth out of a relationship based on lying? Like you combine two black objects, you combine black coal and black iron, and you're going to make white gold? Impossible. So the man thinks, I'm going to have the perfect relationship, the perfect marriage, and the perfect wife. And the wife thinks, I will get the perfect husband. It's like coal marrying coal. You want to produce a white product with two pieces of coal. That's impossible. But people from eons of time, they keep trying. Right? No, I know my mother and father didn't work out, but mine will work out. So in the spiritual world, yes, the mantris get married. Yes, there's parakiya bhav. And it will all be adjusted. So don't worry. You won't have to deal with a lousy husband. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get married in the spiritual world. It's really okay because it will all be adjusted and arranged and purified and perfected by yoga maya. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. That's our only hope. That shakti. I'm putting all my money on that shakti. Krishna has Parasya Shakti Vavadaya Shriyate is unlimited shaktis, but I'm putting all my money on this shakti. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. This means that Krishna has the power to make the possible impossible and to make the impossible possible. So if he doesn't utilize that shakti in my case, then there's no hope. Because it will be without that shakti, it will be impossible for us to attain perfection. So I'm counting on that shakti of Krishna, that one shakti. He has millions of unlimited shaktis. And Radharani is the queen of all those shaktis. So petitioning her compassionate lotus feet, I'm begging Radharani, please bless me that the gatana agatana shakti of Krishna you will make the impossible possible by bringing me into your divine association for your eternal service. Srimati Radha Rani Ki Jai, Vajra Hasyam Ki Jai.